Good morning, everybody. The Bible readings from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received and heard from me or seen me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.
Would you come right now and bring that peace into each of our lives? That peace, Lord, that stills what's been going on in this past week. What's even going on in our lives right now, would you come and still that peace? So that we can hear from you in these next few moments. So, Lord, open our hearts to you, open our ears so that we can hear your voice to each of us this morning, and so that we can respond in the way that you want us to do. But, God, too, we lift up Tim. We thank you for his preparation during this past week, and we would pray, Lord, that you'll give him that holy confidence to speak the words that you have given to him. So we pray, Lord, anointing over Tim right now, anointing to speak out those words, that you will bless him, that you will use him, and that we will respond. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Actually, I've been told I'm not. No longer muted, hopefully. And other Andrew, could you just flick on the guard your heart thing, which will fire up from there? That's the one. Just a reminder of our theme verse for the next few weeks. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now, the first week with this theme, we spoke about having an undivided heart, this heart which was fully focused on God, rather than the sort of desire, meeting our own desires, our own needs, just having his heart, which is undivided, fully focused on God. And this week, we think about how, in terms of how we guard our hearts, and we think about hearts that are filled with peace. Hearts that are filled with peace. I wonder, can you tell the difference between someone who has a heart that is full of the peace of God and someone who is not at peace? Is it possible to tell, just as you're with someone, can you tell when someone's at peace or have got God's peace and someone who hasn't? I think it's possible to tell. I think I've come across people and I just feel that they are so at peace with God and peace with themselves. And I've come across people who perhaps, you can just tell that they're not at peace. Things that different flow out of us when we're at peace. I think it shows, when people aren't at peace, it shows in the way they act. Guard your heart, because everything, for everything you do flows from it. And those who aren't at peace, perhaps without being too generalistic, certainly not wanting to judge people, but I think when you come across people who aren't at peace, who haven't got God's peace, there are things which they display which often show that. They can be irritable quite easily. And perhaps they show unforgiveness. Perhaps there's some impatience, I think. Maybe some intolerance, maybe anxiousness. These are perhaps negative things which flow from a heart that is not at peace. Or maybe not so much, they're not negatively outward, but perhaps because when they're not at peace, they're a little bit reserved, unconfident. Fearful even when they're not at peace. So guard your hearts filled with peace, because when our hearts are at peace, then I think good things flow out of our hearts. And the Apostle Paul, he so often got it, didn't he? He expressed things so well and so succinctly. And I think these verses in Philippians 4, these verses 4 to 9. And for those of you who don't know, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi while he was in prison for his faith. So there he is, imprisoned for his faith, being treated in all sorts of in all sorts of ways. And he had done through his period of his life because of his faith. But I think he could sum up what it is really to guard your heart in these few verses. Because it starts off in verse 4, Philippians 4, talking about saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And we actually talk about that next week, hearts filled with joy. How do we guard our hearts? Well, we rejoice in the Lord always. Those are these words from prison. And then he speaks about peace, this peace of God which transcends all understanding. And then he goes on to some great verses about focusing on whatever is true and noble and right and pure and lovely, etc. And I think if you want to guard your hearts, if you take Philippians 4, 4 to 9, then that will be a real sort of, you could take that on board. As he says, in the end, though, if you do what I do, hear what I hear and put that into action, then you know, the peace of God will be yours. I think in one translation, actually, this verse, for everything you do flows from it. It talks about the wellspring of your heart. Guard your heart, but it's the wellspring of everything you do. And I think that wellspring would become most refreshing if we could put into practice Paul's words. But we're going to think for these hearts filled with peace. Hearts filled with peace. I wonder what sort of peace we are talking about. What comes to mind when you hear about a heart full of peace? Just have a brief few moments with your neighbour and just try and talk about what it is to have a heart which is full of peace. What do we mean? Because, you know, that's a good place to start, isn't it? If we talk about peace, what do we actually mean when we say peace? So perhaps have a two-minute chat with your neighbour, or a one-minute chat with your neighbour, maybe. A 30-second chat with your neighbour, if you don't know them that well, maybe. Or you don't know the answer. What is it about peace? Okay, well, it sounds like we're going to have some fantastic answers, and this could be the end of the sermon could happen in the next 2 minutes if you all give the right answer to what it means about peace. So how would we describe peace? What does it mean to have peace? Contentment. That's a good word, isn't it? And a calm. Calm and contentment. Confidence. The absence of conflict, Val. Sort of surrounded by a ring of peace that just sort of encircles you, and perhaps you feel a sense of well-being, I don't know.
Lack of stress.
Alan. Didn't hear that one, Alan.
Powerful.
Powerful. Peace is powerful, and perhaps if we're at peace, we can act powerfully. Standing in the eye of the storm and not being moved. That sounds good, doesn't it? Tom's full of peace in heaven. That's not because he's no longer around with you, around you, is it? No, that's all right. He's found peace. No, he's at peace in heaven. Wonderful. Peace. Yes. Not fearful. Have you read my sermon notes? No. So actually, we can talk about peace, and it's sometimes quite difficult to describe. In verse 7 of the chapter we read, Paul writes, "And the peace of God that transcends all understanding." So sometimes it's not, no wonder we can't sort of perhaps quite describe it quite right. We can use some words, but perhaps we can't put it quite into words, because it actually transcends the peace of God, which we're promised, actually transcends all understanding. And it's difficult then to describe. If it's beyond what we can understand, then it's difficult to describe, isn't it? I mean, we can go back to the Hebrew word for peace, which is shalom, and that's sort of that place of feeling, of a place of well-being, of wholeness. A place of well-being, I would say, and wholeness, despite our circumstances. And in verse 9, Paul writes that if you put these things into practice that he's talking about, then the God of peace, will be with you. This peace, this shalom, it belongs to God. It's His. And He offers it to us. And He offers this well-being. You know, he'll come alongside us with all that He has to offer. And in John chapter 14, we have Jesus' word, some of his last teaching with his disciples around the Last Supper. And in John 14, he's talking about the Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples. And in John chapter 14, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled." And then he goes on with lots of teaching. And then towards the end in this chapter, in verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives." Listen to that. "I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. My peace, Jesus says. He's the God of peace also. As his Father is, so is Jesus, the God of peace. And he says, my peace I give to you. And he actually says it's not the same peace as the world is looking for. It's not the same. I don't give it to you as the world gives or expects. I think the world is looking for, when we talk about peace, it's perhaps looking beyond the absence of troubles and the absence of difficulties, the absence of pain or the absence of hurt. If all those things, if we didn't have all those things, the world would be saying, I'll be peaceful. And as I've been thinking about this, you know, the words of the song that we've heard a couple of times actually takes from my soul the strain and stress, and let my ordered lives confess the beauty of your peace. I think that's how, as the world thinks, if I take away all the strain, if you took away all the stress, then I'll be at peace. And I think Jesus says, actually, my peace is not as the world gives. Actually, I don't take all the strain, I don't take all the stress away. Actually, within the strain and the stress, you can find the beauty of my peace. It's beyond my understanding. Because my understanding would say, look, God, if you made life well for me, if you took away the strains and the stresses, if you took away the illness, the hurt, the pain, then I would be at peace. But God says, no, beyond your standing, in the midst of all that, you will find your peace. I would somehow say, as I've come to think through and try and describe what it is, I think I would come to say that peace maybe is the absence of fear. The absence of fear. Perhaps the absence of fear of others, what others may think or say or do. Perhaps the absence of the fear of life. You know, what's around the corner, what's going to happen next, how will I cope? Maybe the absence of the fear of myself. I've messed up so many times. Am I going to do it again? And also the absence of the fear of God. And I use that in the sense of, we're told we should fear God, which I think is to honour him and to acknowledge him and be in awe of him. So in that sense, we fear God, but we don't need to fear God in sense of punishment or disapproval or condemnation. So actually peace is the absence of the fear that God is out to condemn us or disapproves of us or is going to punish us in some way. And in John's first letter, in chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, John writes, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. And whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. It says, in this world we are like Jesus. Wow, in this world we are like Jesus. And he goes on to say, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. when we spoke about having an undivided heart, I felt that we could have this undivided heart as we trust that God is good. And perhaps we discover the peace of Christ when we trust, along with the fact that God is good, that the fact that he is also gracious. God is gracious. The psalmist often uses the phrase, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. So God's grace, his compassion, his love is towards you. So much so that he gave his one and only son. He is so gracious and compassionate towards you that he gave his one and only son. And if we can trust that God is gracious, if we can trust a gracious God, in all circumstances, God is gracious as well as being good, then I believe we will experience his peace. A peace where there is no fear. The first thing that defines who I am, first thing that defines me is that I am someone who God loves and I am someone who God is gracious to. Whatever I do, wherever I am, whatever I say, God is gracious to me. That's who I am. So actually, I don't need to fear what others think about me. I don't actually need to fear life circumstances because God is gracious within those circumstances. I don't need to actually fear them. You know, I need to work my way through some very difficult circumstances, maybe. And things which are still painful. Things that still hurt. So I don't think peace is all those things get moved away. But actually, in the midst of them, I know this God is gracious to me. He is for me. He is with me. And I believe that this is the peace we receive from Jesus. It's not as the world gives. Actually, the world can't give it. The world can't give the peace that Jesus gives because it's only Jesus' death on the cross, which shows how gracious God is towards us. And so as Paul writes, in every situation, we come to God with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving and request. We come in every situation, in every walk of life, in whatever's going on, because we need to come to him. But we come to a God who is gracious and a God who is good. I wonder if you believe that. Do you believe that? That you have a God who is gracious and who is good. Do you really believe that? It's all right to say, actually, I struggle with that. Look where I am just now, and it's difficult to struggle that God is gracious and God is good. I'm having a real hard time in life, and that could be health issues or other things which are going on. I really struggle at this moment to say that God is gracious and God is good. But I think if we can, then we will know the peace of God, which is beyond all our understanding. We sing so many songs, and I think a second song we sang was about, you know, he's a God of hope and he's the God of peace. And we often speak about the peace we have in God. But I think we will only find that peace when we come to trust that God is good and God is gracious. That's where we find our peace. Guard your hearts. Do not be anxious. Do not live in fear. Because out of hearts which are fearful come lives which are, I don't know, inhibited. Lives which are stressed. Lives which are reactionary. Lives which are hard. And I think out of hearts that are living in the peace of God and know God's peace, well, actually, I think out of those hearts where you find grace, you find humility, you find confidence, you find trust, you find comfort, you find joy. So I don't think it's... And I think when we sort of say hearts full of peace, I think sometimes we become self-centred about that. Actually, if I have a heart full of peace, then actually everything's going to be all right for me. It's going to be lovely and the angels will be singing and glorious. And so we want peace because we think it will be good for me. Actually, I think God wants to give you peace so it's good for others. You know, when you encounter someone who's got a heart that's not at peace, you probably go away, either hurt yourself or disturb yourself, or you know, somehow something's come from them that's made you feel less than welcome sometimes. When you encounter someone who's got a heart full of peace, then actually you like to be in their presence. You have joy in their presence. And so if you want to be people who are like Jesus... then we want to be people who have a heart that is at peace. And I think we find a heart at peace. And it's Jesus that gives it. It's not a man-made. We can't manufacture peace. It's something God gives. It's beyond our understanding. But I believe that he gives it to us as we trust that he is good and he is gracious. And it's centered then on looking at Jesus and his death and resurrection. Again, the word says, you know, if God has given us this, Jesus, salvation, then won't he give us all things in Christ Jesus? If he's prepared to give us his son, to see his son crucified upon the cross and then raised to life, if he's prepared to do that, then won't he graciously give us all things? And I think he will give us his peace as we trust he is gracious and good. I'm not saying that's easy, but that's where we guard our hearts. As it says in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So peace is an important thing to find, to receive. We can't manufacture it. It's given. But it's given, I think, as we trust that God is gracious. And so we don't need to fear. We trust that God is good in all circumstances. And we take our walk and our journey with him. So may you find your peace in Christ Jesus. Just have a few moments to reflect and respond on that. And as usual in our worship together, we have that opportunity to